Welcome to the Hill City Church Podcast. We are a church family located in Springfield, Missouri. You can learn more about us and support our ministries at hillcitysgf.org.
Good morning, Hill City Church. I'm going to be reading from Genesis chapter 27, verses 1 through 38. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered, "Here I am." He said, "Behold, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare for me delicious food, such as I love. And bring it to me so that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare for me delicious food that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord before I die. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock and bring me two good young goats so that I may prepare them from them delicious food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat so that he may bless you before he dies." But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing." His mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go and bring them to me." So he went and took them and brought them to his mother, and his mother prepared delicious food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And the skins of the young goat she put on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. And she put the delicious food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went in to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" He answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near, that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac his father, who felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He answered, "I am." Then he said, "Bring it near to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought it near to him and he ate. And he brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." And as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, Esau his brother came in from his hunting. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." His father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" He answered, "I am your son, your firstborn son, Esau." Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me, and I ate it all before you came, and I have blessed him. Yes, and he shall be blessed. As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing." Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." Then he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Behold, I have made him Lord over you, and all his brothers I have given to him for servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. This is the reading of the Lord. Thanks be to
God. What a heartbreaking saga that we enter into today. God, and we ask that even in this story, this is a story out of history, that you would open our eyes and cause us to see incredible things from your word this morning. We beg that that happens in this place. In the name of Jesus, by the power of your spirit, amen. So we've been in Genesis for a long time. Chapter 1 and 2, we were in the presence of God. It's what we most longed for. And then in Genesis chapter 3, we lost the presence of God. It was on us. And the rest of your Old Testament is the re-presencing of God, because he is awesome. We started in January with a character named Abraham. He had a son named Isaac. Right before Easter, we saw that Isaac and his wife Rebekah had twins, Jacob and Esau. And when Rebekah was pregnant, like these guys were like, something was going on inside of her. She went to the Lord, and the Lord told her these words: "The one shall be stronger than the other, the older shall serve the younger." That's absurd. That was unheard of, because the firstborn was everything in this culture. And God is saying, no, it's going to be the secondborn here. And then this brings us to our passage today. I've asked that the Lord would bring two things to our attention this morning, that we would walk out of here with two understandings this morning, and that is the understanding of blessing and the understanding of repentance. You heard the passage. We needed to sit in all of this passage today. And if you were listening, like 24 times, you heard the word bless, blessed, or blessing. That is the theme. When we see this blessing, we need to talk about the meaning, because what we see in Scripture when it comes to blessing is that this can kind of be foreign to us. One commentator says it like this: blessing is a world-transforming act that cannot be denied by modern rationality. And we use the word blessing in our culture, but it does not compare to this word blessing in Genesis. Our usage of blessing is actually quite dim compared to this blessing that's used in Genesis and in the rest of our Bible. When you read of blessing, you need to understand these things about blessing in the Bible. This blessing was real. It was permanent. Let me say it again. It was permanent. So think about in our culture, like a will, right? A will and testament. Like, it's written down, it's law, and when that, like, that is the way that it is. That's kind of like this, but the blessing in the Bible is actually way more than that. It's not less than that, it's way more. The blessing was something that monumentally and permanently affected the soul. This blessing was powerful. And it still is, Hill City. It still is. Now, God in his grace gives us what today I will just label as shadow blessings. So just by nods of head, anybody blessed this morning? Oh, thanks be to God, right? Listen, those blessings that you look in your life and you think, man, I'm so blessed. Those are shadow blessings. Blessings. We get taste. God gives us taste of the most important blessing. But there's another kind of blessing that concerns me greatly in our culture, and that's counterfeit blessings. These are blessings we go after thinking they will give us what we most deeply desire. And most of our culture is going after, we are chasing the counterfeit blessing. Now listen, this isn't a problem that's out there. Like, oh, no, it's here. It's here. So why do we do this? Because all of us desire this biblical, this Genesis kind of blessing. And by all of us, I mean every human walking on the planet wants this. Why? Because we are all wired to desire and then to receive blessing, specifically from a uniquely valuable person. We want someone to look at us, a valuable person, a uniquely valuable person, to look at us and say, you are valuable to me. I bless you. I love you. This was happening every day in the garden with God, Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And that is how we are all wired. Listen, you and I, we do not desire generic love from generic people. Some of us settle for that, but that is not what we most deeply desire. It's unique love from a uniquely valuable person. And the first and most important people in our lives who are uniquely valuable, as God designed this, are our parents. So I know we have a lot of younger people who aren't parents yet, but just a quick word to parents. I just want you to give me some eye contact. I don't care if your kids are grown and you're empty nesters or if you just had a baby. Parents, hear me. Bless your children on purpose. So yeah, I give them Christmas presents and I feed them and I clothe them. No. One thing I don't want you to skip, parents, is the primary and best way you can bless your parents or bless your kids, obviously following Jesus. Right after that is this: have a healthy, godly marriage. Like parenting issues, I have learned in ministry that parenting issues most of the time are actually marriage issues, not kid issues. And I actually think that we see that in this story. Think about this. We just read the whole story. Don't miss the lack of trust within this family. It's a trustless family, but it started in the marriage. So what are you talking about, Brad? Listen, Isaac and Rebecca were secretive. So you get what in this culture, normally a blessing would have been given before an entire family. Like it would have been done orally. And that would have legally determined the disposition of all the father possessed. There have been no questions asked. Here is how the blessing's going to work. Here's who it's going to. Usually it was to the firstborn, but it was done publicly with the whole family. But see, this conversation between Isaac and Esau, it was done in secret. Esau, or Isaac said, come here, my boy. Like, hey, go find me some of that food I love so much, and then I will bless you. And it was done in secret. Jacob wasn't there. Rebecca wasn't there. But don't miss this. What was happening? Isaac, this was a premeditated move by Isaac, and he was out to thwart God's plan and God's will. What are you talking about? He knew what God told his wife when she was pregnant. Listen, the older will serve the younger. It's the second born in this family. That's what the Lord said. And you need to know this about Isaac. He went the rest of his days going, I don't like it. Nope. Nope. It's the firstborn. And he actively was opposing God's will. That's why he did this in secret. But then Rebecca heard it. So what does she do? She acted in secrecy, and she went and grabbed the other son. What should she have done? Well, let's think back to when she was pregnant and something wasn't right. What did she do? She went to the Lord, right? Not here. She went to her son Jacob and acted in secrecy. And then after she went to the Lord, then she should have went to her husband. See, in a healthy marriage, here's what's going to happen. Rebecca would have been like, hey, I heard that. Hey, Isaac, I just heard that conversation with Esau, and that's not what the Lord said. So this isn't going to happen. Like, that would be healthy. That's not what she did. What's interesting is that Isaac, early in their marriage, also went to the Lord. If you remember, his wife was barren, and the Bible said he went to the Lord on Rebekah's behalf. And at some point, this stopped. This is an unhealthy marriage. Something is lacking. What is it? Pretty simple. Oneness. Genesis 2 tells us what a marriage should be. A husband and wife knit together as one, making their decisions together. Nothing done in secrecy. And that was not happening here. Rebecca lost some sort of what she should have had with Isaac, so she went to Jacob to get it. Isaac lost something that he should have had with his wife Rebecca, and he went to Esau to get it. Not good. Very common in homes in 2024 right here in Springfield. It's very common. Isaac and Rebecca were secretive. Isaac and Rebecca also showed favoritism, and it hurt everyone. Like, Isaac's favorite was Esau. That was no secret. And Rebecca's favorite was Jacob. That was no secret. And everyone is hurt. Jacob becomes an insecure deceiver. Esau becomes shallow, spoiled, temperamental. That sounds like awesome kids, doesn't it? Rebecca was manipulative and angry. And here you have Isaac, the leader of a really jacked up family. Listen, I pray at this church that we don't raise insecure, shallow, spoiled, temperamental kids. I pray that that does not happen. And one of the ways we can guard against it is actually to really invest and protect marriages. Our Hill City Kids, Natalia, she's getting a lot of questions from parents like, oh, can we do something for parenting? Can we do something? And we want to partner with parents to make disciples of kids, and we want to invest in parenting. But I'm going to tell you the best way we can invest in parenting is to make sure that you have a strong marriage. So that's a warning, is invest in your marriage. Go to God. The way Isaac and Rebecca did not do it, maybe do that in your marriage. First, go to God on behalf of your spouse. Ask God to help you love your spouse well. Ask God to help you show your spouse Jesus. Ask God to help make you more loving. Let's do that. Another warning. This is not just for parents. This is for everyone in the room. If there is an area in your life where you are operating in secrecy, that is a major red flag. Jacob wanted this blessing. Rebecca wanted this blessing for Jacob. But what did they do? Well, they decided to operate outside of faith. See, don't you see? God already said this was going to happen. Rebecca knew it. Jacob knew it. Why then did they do this? Did they drop this deceitful plan? Why? Because they did not have faith in what God said. But don't miss what they really did here. What did Rebecca do? What did Jacob do? They decided to work for something that was already gifted to them by God. Okay, that didn't hit at the 8 o'clock either, so I'm going to say it again. They went to work to try to earn something that was a gift from God. See, the Bible says anything you do outside of faith is sin. See, sin causes us to jump on a treadmill of working for something that God gifts us. That's what is happening here. And hearts will be broken, because when you think that you can work for something that God gives you as a gift, your heart will eventually break. Everyone in this family, they're conspiring. Like Rebecca draws up the play. Jacob runs the play, he executes the play, and he deceives his blind father by pretending to be his brother Esau. He becomes hairy on his neck and his hands. He cooks like Esau with the help of his mother. He puts Esau's clothes on, and he smells like Esau. And he actually gets religious in his language, in his deceit. So listen, you got to have discernment. You can't just let religious language deceive you. What's he say? Like, his dad kind of knew something was up, and he's like, wait a minute, how did you kill that so fast? And what did Jacob say? He's like, the Lord, your God bless. You know what that's called? That's called using God's name in vain. But what was really going on here? You got to catch this. Jacob wanted this blessing. He thought he had to go get it. What does he do? He dresses up like somebody that he isn't in order to get it. He pretends to be someone that he isn't in order to get a blessing. We all do this. Like, it is embedded in our culture to pretend to be something that we are not. Like, social media has put this on steroids. That is a fake world. And we do it, and we go after a blessing. Now, it's a counterfeit blessing. You say, okay, Brad, that's an accusation on all of us. It is, but how does this play out in our lives? I can't give you all the examples. We'd be here forever, but let me give you a couple, and we're just going to go straight to the Bible Belt Midwest. How do we dress up and pretend? Well, one way that we do this in our culture is we actually dress up like good Christian boys and good Christian girls. Like, we put on our smiles, and we hide our soft skin, our softness, the softness of our fears. We hide the softness of our failures. We hide our sin. And why do we do this? Because we just want the counterfeit blessing of people's approval and admiration. Some people even disciple to get this. And deep down, the discipleship is because you want some people to say, man, he is awesome. He is great. He is amazing. And you go after that. So you disciple, when really the motivation of your discipleship is that people come away going, man, Jesus is awesome. Jesus is great. Jesus is amazing. Okay, not everybody does that, but very common in our culture is that people dress up in cars, clothes, status, things that God never intended for us to dress up in. Why do we do it? Because we want acceptance, we want adoration, and we'll do anything to get it, including dress up, including go into debt, just saddled in debt, shackled in debt. Why? Because we're after a counterfeit blessing. Some of you do it in relationships. Hello, college students. Love you guys. I'm so glad you're here. Keep coming. Keep bringing your friends. I love you enough to tell you this. You think, if she would just love me, I would be blessed. If he would just love me, I'd be blessed. And then he doesn't. So you're like, okay, but if he would just love me, then I'd be blessed. And then he doesn't. But if he would just love. So we go on pretending to be someone that we're not, to try to win someone's love who we're never intended to win. And some of us may not do that with someone else. And I'm not just now all of you right here. Listen, now all of you. So it's not just them. Some people, instead of doing that, they No, I'm going to go to a screen because I want the blessing. I want to be desired. So we go to a screen and it's counterfeit. Can we have the courage this morning just to confess and admit we're all not that different from Jacob? Isaac, he knew something was up, right? So finally he's like, kiss me, my son. And this was sort of like that final, I mean, he's blind for crying out loud, but he knows something is up. Isaac comes in and gives him a kiss. Jacob comes on and gives Isaac a kiss, and Jacob smelled like Esau. He felt like Esau, and Isaac loved it. He's like, there's the smell of my boy. And it's in this moment that Jacob finally got the response, the look, the love, the acceptance from his dad that he had always desired. He got the words that he always wanted to hear from his father. Yes! And did it help? Did it make all the difference in the life of Jacob? No. Why? Because Jacob knew it wasn't Jacob who Isaac was blessing. He was pretending to be someone he wasn't. He dressed up. I mean, he kind of got the blessing, but it wasn't the real blessing. He wasn't confidently blessed. His life proves this. Hill City, we need to see this. Listen, when we embellish who we are, when we dress up, when we show everyone how much of a winner that we are, we show everyone how good we are, how strong we are, how pretty we are. And that is, our energy goes to that, and then we hide the losses in our life. We hide the bad. We hide the weak. We hide the ugly. Listen, when we live lives like that, we will never be fully and confidently blessed. He wanted this blessing so badly, he thought he could work for it. In other words, he tried to bless himself. And you need to understand this. Hear me out. You cannot bless yourself. Now, you can, but that blessing is counterfeit. Like, true blessing must come from the outside. Now, the world's not going to tell you this. They're going to tell you self-love, self-help, bless yourself. Go ahead. Yeah, okay, try that. It's counterfeit. You are wired to have blessing from the outside. Just put that in your back pocket. We'll quickly come back to that. So we have this crazy story, and the best possible thing that could happen, Isaac is there. He's been deceived. Esau is weeping. Jacob knows he lied. Rebekah knows he lied. The best possible thing that could happen in this moment is that four people, a family, come together, and they just repent to one another, repent for God, confess this. We've messed this up. That does not happen. But one person does repent. And I want us to walk away here with understanding of blessing and understanding of repentance. In verse 30 of chapter 27, it's easy to miss, but here's what happens. Esau comes back in. He's like, here you go, Dad. I got what you asked for. Now bless me. And it says this in verse 33. Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate it before you came, and I have blessed him. And then the countenance of the whole story changes. You can't hardly see it, but just listen. Then Isaac is like, yes, and he will be blessed. See, listen, this, he trembled very violently. Like in the Hebrew there, that is something, he was shaken to his core. This is something that happened on the inside of Isaac. And then that word, yes, and he shall be blessed. That is like, indeed, he will be blessed. Later on, he uses the word, behold. This all points to Isaac finally recognizing something he had refused to recognize for years. He's gone against it for years. What's it? God's will. What God said was going to happen. All his life, he was told, no, it's going to be the younger. And Isaac's like, no, no, no. And in this moment, this is we see repentance where Isaac goes, Chuck. Yes, I've fought it for years, no more. Yes, he will be blessed. He knew his heart had been rebelling against God. He knew his sin had been exposed, and he responded properly. Hill City, how you respond when you're confronted with your sin, it actually tells a lot about the condition of your heart. And sometimes we're confronted by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we're confronted by a spouse. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe we just get caught in our sin. How do you respond? Listen, how you respond actually tells a lot about what you know of God and his grace. Because if you're caught in sin, you're like, well, it's because of him. Well, it's her. Well, if they. Listen, when you respond that way, you're responding as if you've forgotten that God loves to give out his grace. In other words, God loves to give out himself. And there, right there it is, the presence of God himself. That is the blessing we all most deeply long for. Our problem, Hill City, is that we've settled for counterfeits for so long that we maybe have become numb to the real thing. Listen, so the back pocket, here's what I said. Blessing has to come from the outside. True, confident blessing has to come from the outside. If you're serving communion, I'm going to ask you to go prepare the table. Listen, just I pray, would you just let God's word just grab your heart in this moment? So would you just pray that silently with me? God, please allow your word that I'm getting ready to hear just to grab my heart. Would you bow your heads? Just pray that real quickly, okay? Blessing that you most desire has to come from the outside. Here is what Galatians chapter 3 says. It says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that's what Jesus did for us. What is the result? So that in Christ Jesus, the one who hung on a tree, here we go, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. That's us, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Jesus, the truer and better Jacob. He dressed up. He put on flesh, the Bible says. He put on flesh and he came down and he became a curse so that we could have the blessing. And listen, I know, not because I'm awesome, because I read it in the Bible, I know the blessing that everyone in the room most longs for. Would you stand with me? It's in Ephesians chapter 1. It's just one place in Scripture where, listen, this is the blessing that we have in Jesus. And here's what I want you to do, Hill City. Listen, this is a moment. Can you have a moment with me? Okay, listen, I want you in this moment, please, just hear the kind voice of God the Father. And not just that, I want you to feel God the Father take your hand. I want you to feel his breath over you. I want you to see, close your eyes, I want you to see and feel the delight on God the Father's face. This isn't Brad's words, this is what God said. Listen, Hill City, this is the blessing. You are blessed. I chose you. I love you. I adopted you. You're my child. I redeemed you. I paid for you in my blood. That's how valuable that you were to me. And then I give you all wisdom and insight for living. And this I give you. It's an inheritance. And here's the thing about the inheritance. You're going to screw this up, but I've sealed it with a promise. I have guaranteed it. Because I love you. That's the promise we almost long for. Listen, awesome cars, awesome houses, awesome clothes, anything on a screen, any other relationship on the planet can't give you that. Don't settle for a counterfeit.